Good evening. Praise the Lord is right. I was sitting there thinking that about 4 years ago, my wife and family returned from Colombia, South America. We had spent 6 months there ministering, considering the possibility of ministering there long term, but the Lord closed the door down, and we came back home, and I didn't know what was ahead of us as a family and me personally, and so I took out a piece of paper, and I wrote down about, I think there was 10 things that I wanted the Lord to do, and I prayed about those 10 things. I think there was an individual or two I would like to see him save, and there was a few other things in the family, and one specific thing that I asked the Lord for, began to pray for, was the opportunity to speak and to communicate the Word of God with reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And the reason why I did that was because much of my early life, after being converted, I spent much time studying the Scriptures on this subject. I was single until I was 35 years old. And after work, come home, have a little bite to eat, and oftentimes just sit in my room with an open Bible and study and meditate and consider the Word of God. And I began to pray that the Lord would give me opportunity. I felt like there was a lot of things in here that I would like to get out. And so shortly thereafter, after beginning to pray, the Lord began to open up opportunities. And the first opportunity came about 2 years ago in South Dakota. And there's been other opportunities opening up since. And I'm very grateful tonight, and I believe that for me, this is an answer to prayer. To have an opportunity to stand before all of you and to consider this subject that we're going to address this week. And as I was praying this evening, this week and next week, it seems like a long time, and I trust that you can bear with me as we go through 12 days. I know when I first talked to Aaron, I thought it was 10. And then when we talked again, it was 12. And then he mentioned Sunday morning also. And that put it up to 14 messages. And so a number of years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago, I preached through the book of Revelation verse by verse in our home congregation. It took a long time, year and a half, close to 2 years. And it's a wonderful thing to live in a book of the Bible like that for 2 years, just meditating and thinking and studying and praying. Well, the book of Revelation to me is a fascinating book. It's the last book in the Bible, and there's reason for that. And we'll discuss a little of that as we go through the week. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1, and I know, having already spent time at churches preaching on the subject, there's going to be a lot of discussion, and I like that we can discuss things back and forth and communicate thoughts. Let me say this, prophecy and the second coming of Jesus Christ has, throughout the years, at least in my lifetime, got a bad name, a bad reputation amongst many. And the reason why that is simply because many people are interpreting the Bible based upon the current events, the newspapers, and the things that are happening around the world. But we're not going to do that at all this week. We're going to base everything we say upon the Scriptures. We're going to allow the Bible to interpret itself and not extend any further than that. And if I do that, please remind me or correct me. But we want to let the Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. And I also want to, just for those of you who may be a little bit questionable about the subject matter and whether or not it's needful. You know, there's many people who think that, well, it doesn't really matter what I believe about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all going to pan out anyway. I want to say this to you tonight, that that's not the case. The Lord Jesus has taken, God has taken much in His Word to clarify and to teach us about the return of the Lord Jesus. And there's a reason why He did that. And He wants us to know and not be deceived. You remember the disciples in Matthew 24, when they asked the Lord, "What is the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus' first response to them was this: "Take heed that no man deceive you." And that is paramount. Take heed that no man deceive you. And so in order to not be deceived, we need to understand things. And Jesus went on to give a whole chapter of things that they needed to understand and to know to prepare them for His return. Well, the revelation of Jesus Christ here in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. I'd like to read down through the first seven verses, and then we're going to comment on verse number 1. We need to establish a good foundation. Tonight I want to just lay a foundation in the first verse. And I believe, this is my heart, if you'll grasp and receive the things that are shared tonight, it will help the confusion many have regarding the subject of the book of Revelation. And so let's read here, starting in verse number 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so. Amen." Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for the blessed privilege of knowing You and owning a Bible to study and to pray over and to consider. And Lord, You're the author of it, and the Spirit of God is the inspirer of it. And Lord, I do pray that You would inspire our hearts with it tonight, and help us to know and understand Your will and Your mind and Your heart. And Lord, I pray You'll teach us and lay a foundation in our hearts as we consider Your Word. We look to You, trust in You, acknowledge tonight that without You, Lord, we can do nothing. And so we ask for Your grace and help. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I would like this evening to start out in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1, and just take about the first 8 or 9 words, because the first 8 or 9 words are very important words to understand and to clear up a lot of the confusion that many have with regards to the subject or this book, the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here at verse number 1, these first words: "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. This book here is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. You notice it does not say a revelation to Jesus Christ, but it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, words are important here. The word revelation here in verse number 1 is the Greek word apokalypsis. Maybe you've heard about the four horses of the apocalypse. This word is, the word revelation is the word apokalypsis. And I'm going to try to be slow and deliberate this week and next week as we go through these things. But this is about the apocalypse. The apokalypsis. And the word apokalypsis simply means this. You can look it up in your concordance. It means an uncovering, an appearing, a manifestation, a revealing. In other words, this book is about the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the appearing of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the uncovering of Jesus Christ. And we read about that in verse number 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. The manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse number 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. That's interesting to me because as I read in my Bible, there's only one soldier that pierced him. But here it says, all them that pierced him. By the way, that's us, isn't it? We pierced the Lord Jesus Christ. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Oh, every eye shall see him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be revealed. There is coming a day when he is going to be manifested. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was manifested some 2,000 years ago when he was born of a virgin and he came into this world and God could be seen in a human body through the Lord Jesus Christ. God was manifested then. And if I could read to you here this morning, I'm teaching through the book of Hebrews in our congregation. But listen what the writer to the Hebrews said. Chapter 9, verse 26 of Hebrews. For then must he often have suffered, speaking of Jesus, since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. So the writer says that Jesus Christ appeared the first time at the manger when he was born into the world through the Virgin Mary, and he was ridiculed and he suffered and he died upon a cross, and men could behold him. They could see him with their eyes, and he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The writer to the book of Hebrews says that he's going to appear a second time. Unto those that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to appear? If you're here tonight and you're looking and longing for the Lord Jesus Christ to appear, that tells me that your heart is right with Him. That tells me that you're longing for His appearing. But if your heart is here tonight and you're not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking for other things, you're desiring other things, and you're not ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to appear, then your heart is not in the right place. I remember I can see it as clear as day, standing in my dormitory at Ohio University when I was a young man. I was on a college, a golf scholarship, and it was time, oh, probably March of the year, and we went, took a southern trip, our golf team did, down to Florida and South Carolina and North Carolina, and I just loved to play golf. I had just been converted for about a year or so, and I can remember, I can picture myself like on a carpet here, practicing my putting in my dormitory room and thinking to myself, Lord, I hope that you don't come in the next 3 or 4 months because I really want to go and play on the golf team in Florida, in North Carolina, in South Carolina. You know, some of you may think that's rather foolish, but how many of you want to do some things in life before the Lord Jesus comes? Or is your greatest desire to see the Lord Jesus and to say, even as John, come, Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus is going to appear a second time. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse number one there, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him. I'd like to look at this word, apocalypsis, throughout the Bible because I believe it's very important to understand what the apocalypsis is. It is when Jesus Christ appears in all of His glory. This word apocalypsis is used throughout the New Testament. I'll give you a couple examples here tonight. And you know, a lot of the confusion in our doctrine, if you just listen to these verses, my friend, a lot of the confusion in doctrine can be settled in our own hearts. If we will let the Word of God minister to us. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end. He is talking to the children of God. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the apocalypsis of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven in all of His glory. What are you hoping for tonight? You know, I like to make the Bible practical. Are you hoping for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the apocalypsis of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus is revealed, that every eye would see Him? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 uses this word also. Paul writes, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. That's the word apocalypsis. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the church at Thessalonica was suffering tribulation, and Paul writes to them and says, rest with us. Wait until that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will be apocalypsis, revealed from heaven. And He will take vengeance on them that know not God and them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this letter is written to the church at Thessalonica, and Paul exhorts them to wait and to rest for the apocalypsis, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In that time it says He will take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this tonight, my friend. Have you obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know what the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is? Well, you're a sinner, aren't you? You've broken and violated the laws of God, and God is angry with sin, and He is angry with the wicked every day, and God has provided a way by which that the sinner can become a saint, that the rebel can become one who loves the Lord Jesus. And He has done it by offering up His Son Jesus Christ upon a cross to die for the sins of humanity. And those who will repent of their sin and humble themselves before the Lord Jesus and say, Jesus, have mercy upon me and save me. They can come to God through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and obey the gospel. And then they can know God and have a relationship with Him. Have you obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know God through our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, if you'd have stopped me on the road at age 18, or you'd have probably found me on the golf course instead of the road, if you'd have stopped me on the golf course and said, Jerry, do you know God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I would say, yes, I know God and I know Jesus. He's the one that died on that cross. He was the one that was born of the Virgin Mary. We go to church on Easter. We go to church at Christmas. Yes, I know them. But the Lord Jesus would have said to me then, I know you not. I know President Obama. I can tell you a lot of things about him. But if I met President Obama, he would look at me and say, I don't know you. And doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ say that in Matthew chapter 7 when He looks at all of those who did many religious things and He said, depart from me, you cursed, I never knew you. The only way we can know the God of heaven is through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us here that we're to wait and rest and wait for the Lord Jesus to be revealed, apocalypsis from heaven, with His mighty angels. Are you waiting for that tonight? Are you waiting for the revelation, the apocalypsis of the Lord Jesus? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just throw this out to you tonight. We'll talk about it as we go through the week. But when Jesus Christ is revealed, the apocalypse, that's when the vengeance of God is coming upon this world. The wrath of God is coming upon this world when Jesus Christ is revealed. Doesn't the Bible say, every eye shall see Him and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The apocalypse. That is the word here in Revelation 1:1. The revelation or the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Let's continue on here. So that you come behind. Listen to this. Paul writes to church at Corinth, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word coming there is the Greek word apokalypsis. Waiting for the apocalypse of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you receive that tonight? Paul, writing the church at Corinth, says, oh, I don't want you to come behind in any gift as you wait for the apocalypse of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you waiting tonight for the apocalypse of our Lord Jesus Christ? Luke chapter 17, the word is used again. Verse number 30, listen to what Jesus says. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Apocalypsis. Just as it was, Jesus said, in the days of Noah, the same day that Noah entered into the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. So shall it be in the day when Jesus is revealed from heaven. You know, we don't have a boat to run and get into, do we? Like it was in Noah's day. I believe Noah was a preacher of righteousness, a man who built a boat on one hand and probably held a, a Bible in the other, and he was a preacher of righteousness, and he condemned the world, and he invited people to turn from sin and to enter the ark. But you know what? Very few people entered in. And there did come a day when the Scripture says that God told Noah to get into the ark, and when Noah and his family entered into the ark with those animals, the Scripture says that the Lord shut to the door. And then the flood came on the selfsame day that Noah entered into the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all, Jesus said, and they probably stood on the outside of that ark and said, "Noah, Noah, let us in!" But the door was shut, wasn't it? And Jesus said to us, He said, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate when once the master of the house is risen up and shut to the door, and you shall stand without and say, 'Lord, Lord, open unto us.' And He shall say unto you, 'I know not whence you are.'" You know, the Bible says when Jesus is risen up, when Jesus died and He was buried, He rose from the dead. He ascended up to heaven and He sat down at the right hand of God. There is coming a day when He's going to rise up and He's going to shut to the door. And just like it was in the days of Noah, when Jesus Christ appears at the apocalypse, when Jesus Christ comes to this earth, the door is going to be shut. And many then will begin to cry out, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." And He shall say, I know you not." The apocalypse. That's what this book is about. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now there's a lot of deceptions that Jesus warned about, and we see in our day regarding the second coming of Christ. And one of the deceptions that Jesus tells us about in Matthew chapter 24, let me read to you. He warns His disciples of these things. He says, "If any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not." This is during the time of great tribulation. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have foretold you these things. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. 'Behold, he is in the secret chambers,' believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, in those days, if someone comes to you and says, "Jesus has come, and He's here in the desert. Jesus has come, and He is in the secret chambers," don't believe them. Because as the lightning that peals across the sky from east to west, that is visible to all, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Apocalypse. Revelation. Throughout history, many people have been deceived about this very thing. The preterist believes that Jesus came in 70 AD. I've talked to them. Did anybody see Him? No. Back in the 1830s, I did a little study on Richard Miller. Maybe some of you know him. He had a great following of people, and he predicted that the Lord Jesus Christ would come, and men and women sold their houses and farms and businesses and waited on hillsides for the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And He never came. But the Seventh-day Adventists, which was born out of that movement, even to this day claim that Jesus did come back then in a secretive way to judge or to cleanse the temple, and He is still in the process even to this day of cleansing the temple. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus clearly tells us that when He comes, it's going to be visible for all. It's going to be a revelation. It's going to be an apocalypsis, like lightning flashing from east to west. You probably have heard about Harold Camping. Just recently, I married one of the young ladies of our church on May 21st, just last spring. And I told them, you know, they chose an interesting day to get married, at the end of the world. You know, it's nothing like waiting to the last day. And many people were following Harold Camping and his prediction that the world would end May 21st, but the world did not end May 21st. But I understand that this movement is now saying that Jesus did come May 21st, but it was a spiritual coming, a secret coming. And now he's got a prediction for October, I think, of this year or next year, that the Lord will reveal Himself from heaven. Well, the first time that Jesus came into this world, He was clothed in human flesh. He was born in a manger, ridiculed and crucified. But the second time He is coming, it'll be seen of all. He will come in all of His glory, and every eye shall see Him. And that is what this book is about here. The first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to do it tonight, but it's a good overview, just walking through the book of Revelation, seeing how many times the revelation of Jesus Christ is spoken about and described. Many, many different ways. And the last few verses of the book. Turn back to Revelation here. John sums up Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 20. He starts out the first verse with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And verse 20, the last two verses. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so when we read those words in Revelation chapter 1, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are talking about in this book the events that will transpire when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven. Apocalypsis, with His mighty angels coming to this earth a second time in all of His glory. Now I'd like you to notice something else here in Revelation 1, the second part, and this is very important, I think, to understand this book. The revelation, verse number 1, of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him. God gave this revelation unto Him. In other words, God gave unto His Son the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now remember that the Lord Jesus, and I don't understand all these things, and the Lord Jesus, He didn't know everything. He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. And that's hard for us to understand. Even in the context of the second coming of Christ, Jesus made this statement in Matthew 24, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." My Father only knows the day and the hour of my return. And so, and it's hard for our minds to understand, but the Lord Jesus did not know all these things. And I can't explain that to you. Maybe one of you brothers can explain that tonight a little bit better, how Jesus could say those things. But in His humanity, He was limited. But God gave this revelation to the Lord Jesus. And it's important to understand when God gave that revelation to Jesus. And we're going to see that tonight. I'd like you to jump ahead to Revelation chapter 4. starting in verse number 1. John gets a vision. He is caught up to heaven and sees an amazing vision, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later on in the week. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, John gets this vision. He is caught up to heaven, and first thing he sees is the throne of God. Verse number 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." And we're not going to read this whole vision of the throne, but John sees an amazing vision of the throne of God and all that's around the throne. And then the attention of this vision is directed towards something that is in God's right hand. And this is very important to understand the book of Revelation. Let's keep reading in Revelation 5 and verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now notice what it says here in verse number 7. "And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Now, this vision, John is taken up to heaven. And as John is caught up to heaven, he immediately sees the throne of God. He sees the beasts around the throne and the 24 elders, and he sees them worshiping the Lord, and then his attention is drawn to a book that is in the right hand of God, and he wants to know he hears a voice, "Who is worthy to open this book?" And of course, the cry goes out throughout heaven, "Is anyone worthy?" And there's no one worthy, neither in heaven or in earth or underneath the earth. No one is worthy to open this book. And John's burdened. He starts to cry. We need more tears today, don't we? You know, John wanted to see all that he could see. We're going to see this in Daniel also. John, he wanted to understand. He wanted to know. I love that about John and Daniel. They had a heart to know and understand what's coming in the future. And so John is weeping, and finally he hears a voice saying, "Wait a minute, John, there is someone who is worthy. Jesus Christ, who was slain and was raised up from the dead, He is worthy to take the book and to open this book." And so the scene shifts to the Lord Jesus appearing in the midst of the throne. And And it's interesting that the Lord Jesus still has the wounds. He is as a lamb slain. And He comes and He takes the book out of the right hand of God the Father who sits on the throne. And I like this. In verse number 8 of chapter 5, "And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof.'" You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is worshipped also, isn't He? It's a beautiful picture of the deity of Jesus Christ. 24 elders worshiping God the Father. And then those same 24 elders falling down and worshiping Jesus Christ the Son. But this book is the focus and the central feature of this vision. And God gives this book to Jesus Christ. You remember Revelation 1:1? "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants." That's us, amen? "The things which must shortly come to pass." And so the Lord Jesus receives this book. And it's interesting, as we will see here as the days go by, that out of this book, out of this sealed book, which has seven seals on it, and I did not bring a book with me to show you, but this book has seven seals, much like a diary would have a seal and a lock. This book is sealed up so that you cannot read what's inside of it. Jesus takes that book, and as you probably all are well aware of, He begins to open the seals. Now, what is this sealed book? This is so important. What is this sealed book? I believe we need to let the Bible interpret itself. But what is this sealed book that the Lord Jesus receives here and is worthy to open? I don't believe the book of Revelation will ever truly be rightly understood in your own heart unless you understand what the sealed book is. Many people have guessed at the sealed book, but you know there's only one sealed book. If you let the Bible interpret itself, there's only one sealed book in the Scriptures. And it's interesting that sealed book has to do with the end, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sealed book is found in the book of Daniel. So I'd like to have you turn back to the book of Daniel. And I'd like to look at this book that is sealed. For the sake of time, we're going to just jump through these last three chapters. Daniel is one of my favorite Bible characters, along with John, and there's a reason for that. We'll see that here tonight. Daniel chapter 10. Starting in verse number 1. Let me read to you just a few verses. We'll skip down through here. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long." In other words, the vision had to do with something that was far out in Daniel's future, hundreds of years perhaps. The vision, but the time appointed was long. Look at verse number 2. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." Now, one thing I like about Daniel is Daniel wanted to know the future. Daniel had a heart, and he would cry out to God, "God, reveal unto me what is coming upon the nation of Israel. What is coming in the future?" Here Daniel did some fasting for 3 whole weeks. Verse 4, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, and his body was like unto beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And so an angel is sent here to Daniel to give him wisdom. Look down at verse number 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Here's something I like. There's two people, and maybe you know of another one. I don't know of another one, but there are two men in the Bible who are specifically said to be loved. You know who they are? Well, we know Daniel is one of them. God sends an angel to say to Daniel, Daniel, thou art greatly beloved. Now, Daniel was a man who wanted to understand the future. He wanted to see into the future visions and have revelations, and God blessed him. God said, Daniel, you're greatly beloved. Jew, there was another disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ who was loved, wasn't he? Guess who that was? John. Guess who is getting the revelations on the Isle of Patmos? It's John, the beloved disciple whom Jesus loved. And I think it's ironic that in both Testaments, men who had a heart to know and to understand, especially someone like Daniel who fasted for 21 days for God to reveal truth to him. You ever done that? You ever came across maybe some Bible studies and you didn't understand it, and your heart was so to understand God's truth and His will that you spent a week? Or you spent some days in fasting and waiting upon God to open up your heart and mind. Think about it. When God looked down upon Daniel, who fasted for 21 days, He said, Daniel, I want you to know this, you're greatly beloved. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is there on the Isle of Patmos, and he receives this wonderful revelation. Verse number 14, same chapter. Let's keep reading. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Again, it's a vision that's out into the future. Let's keep going here in chapter 11. This is one long vision. Verse 27. Daniel is getting to see into the future. A long way into the future, by the way. Verse 27, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Now here the context is the end. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 24 and verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Let's keep reading in Daniel chapter 11, verse 30. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, maybe you've heard about the abomination that maketh desolate. Here it is mentioned in the book of Daniel. Jesus also spoke about the abomination of desolation spoken of by who? Daniel the prophet. And when Jesus speaks about the abomination of desolation in Matthew chapter 24, He is referring to the time just before the end, just before the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so what Daniel here is seeing is a vision that is taking him all the way to the end of the age. Keep reading in Daniel 11, verse 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end. But it is yet for a time appointed. Verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, but he shall magnify himself above all. Now Daniel's getting an opportunity here to see far into the future. He's actually getting to see clear up to the end of the age. And here we have a description of this Antichrist who stands up and claims to be God and speaks marvelous things against the God of gods. Well, we know in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that Paul talked about that very thing, didn't he? Speaking of the Antichrist, he said he shall stand in the temple, claim to be God, speak blasphemous things against the God of gods. And so Daniel is able to see in his vision all the way up to the end of this age that we're living in. Look at verse number 40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Here again, it's the time of the end. And then here's a good passage for us. Look over to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. The vision is beginning to close here. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Here is a time that Daniel sees that's a time of trouble such as never was. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the time of great tribulation? He said, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And so Daniel, God is rewarding Daniel. He is allowing Daniel to see into the future, to see this time of trouble. And then in verse number 2, he gets to see something else here. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Here Daniel sees the graves opening, and some are raised to everlasting life, and some are raised to everlasting damnation. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ? Marvel not, the day is coming in which the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that have done good shall be raised to life everlasting. They that have done evil shall be raised up to eternal damnation. When is that supposed to happen? Jesus said, at the last day. And so here is Daniel. He gets an opportunity to see God opens the future up and takes him all the way up to the Antichrist, all the way up to the Great Tribulation, all the way up to the resurrection. All these things that Jesus spoke about that would come prior to His coming. Things that are still in the future for us. I believe in the very near future. But things that are still in the future. Well, Daniel, he has a problem here. He's been able to see all the way up here to the time that the the graves are opened up and people are raised up. Let's keep reading in verse number 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Do you believe that tonight? Do you know that when we are raised up, those who have given their life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, have given their life to disciple, have given their life to bring people into righteousness and to train them in righteousness, those who have obeyed the Great Commission, they shall shine as the stars forever and ever. How are you doing? Say, well, life is busy. Are you busy about the right things? And now notice verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even, notice this, to the time of the end. Daniel, I've let you see a long way into the future. But now, Daniel, close it and seal it. I don't want you to see any further, Daniel. I want it closed. I don't want to show you nor anyone else, and I want it to be closed until the time of the end. Seal the book, Daniel, and close it until the time of the end. Now, Daniel is a guy like you and me, I think. He didn't like that answer. Notice here what Daniel says in verse number 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? You ever read a real good novel, you know, or fiction novel, and you get all the way through, and it's an exciting, exciting book, and then you get to the last chapter of the book, and all the pages are glued together. Or maybe you get to the last chapter of the book and someone has torn it out. You ever been around those storytellers who tell children stories and they tell a story and everyone is just enraptured in the story and they get right down to that moment of climax and the person says, come back tomorrow and you'll get the rest of the story. Isn't that frustrating? Well, here is Daniel. He's been able to see all these things clear up to the great tribulation, the Antichrist, and the resurrection which happens at the last day. And he says, Lord, what's going to happen after these things? What a good heart. And the Lord tells him to shut up the book and seal it until the time of the end. Verse 9, look at what it says here. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel, I don't want you to see any farther. Do you know if God does not allow man to see into the future, man cannot see into the future. God gave Daniel an opportunity to see what is coming in the future. And then he says, Daniel, close the book. And I think it's important we hear the words of the Lord to say, Daniel, close it until the time of the end. Daniel saw in his vision up to the last day, up to the resurrection. You know, something that's important, I don't know if you ever realize this. Sometimes we read through the Bible, we don't realize all these things. But you know, when Jesus taught, when He taught men, go through Matthew, Mark, and Luke in His earthly ministry, He taught them all the things that would happen right up to the point where Daniel saw at the resurrection of the last day, and he said, nothing more. You know, those apostles, when they taught right up to the point where the last day and Jesus Christ appeared in the skies and men run from the wrath of God, but they taught no more. Because it wasn't revealed what would happen after the last day when Jesus Christ would come and begin to judge the world. Even Jesus in Matthew 24 brings us all the way up to the time when He appears and the world sees Him coming, and then that's where He stops. Daniel has a great desire to see how all these things shall end. What shall be the end of all these things, he says. But God says, no. Daniel, I'm not going to show you. And so Daniel, and if you can grasp this, Daniel in his heart to know the future got to see way out into the future, clear up to what we call the last day, clear up to the end of the age. And then God said, close it. I'm not going to reveal to you any further. I'm going to save it till the time of the end. And then I love this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. You know what it says? The time is at hand. The time is at hand. It's now time to take that book which Daniel sealed, and it's time now to open it up and to see what is going to happen when Jesus Christ appears and all the judgments that are going to fall upon this earth at the revelation, the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus is worthy to open the book. This sealed book is the book or the vision that Daniel was asked to close and seal up. Now Jesus takes this book from the Father and He begins to open those seals. And I'm going to say this, and we're going to discuss this week, but those seals, I'll just throw this thought out to you tonight, but all the signs that Jesus gave that led up to the last day, if you watch those seals as they're opened, they follow Matthew 24. And then the sixth seal, the one before the last seal, the sixth seal that's opened in this book, Jesus appears. And men begin to run to the rocks and to the mountains and to hide themselves from the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly how far Jesus and the apostles taught, because that was all that was revealed unto them. And now the Lord Jesus is taking this sealed book and He is opening the sixth seal, and it brings us right to that point. And then He opens the seventh seal. Does anybody know what happens at the seventh seal? There is silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And this book is now open. And Jesus Christ is going to show His servants what is coming upon this world when He is revealed from heaven in the apocalypse. And as we go down through the book of Revelation, you're going to see things that Daniel wanted to see, but he was not able. You're going to see things that Jesus never even taught. It was not open to him. We're going to see things that have been sealed since the day that Daniel saw his vision and closed the book. I'm sure Daniel would love to be here tonight teaching this subject. The opening of this sealed book that we're going to look at will answer the question that Daniel asked. What shall be the end of these things? Lord, what's the last chapter of the book? How is this thing going to end? I mean, I've seen all the way up to the last day and the resurrection. He even mentions in an earlier vision the appearing of the Lord Jesus. But that's all the farther. God revealed all the farther that He could see. Let's look back to Revelation chapter 1 and we'll close for tonight. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, the book in His right hand to show unto His servants, that's us, things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. That's the one who got to see. Verse 2, John bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. That's what this book is about. John being caught up, seeing Jesus take a book, begin to open the seals, and then to expose the things that are in the book, the judgments that are coming upon the world when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in the last day. I believe that for you to get in your mind the next 13 or so messages that we needed to take tonight to lay a foundation. And we'll build upon that foundation as we go through this book. Let's close tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray even as Daniel, what a heart to teach, to be taught, and to understand, and to know, and to see, Lord, what is coming upon this world. And that, Lord, I pray that we could also have a spirit like Daniel did, to hunger and thirst. And even as we consider the book of Revelation, your heart for us, not to lay it aside, but here is a special revelation that we're promised a blessing if we read it, hear it, obey it. And Lord, again, we pray as we will do throughout this week and next week that you would open our hearts and make the revelation of Jesus Christ real. That we also could be sober, gird up the loins of our mind and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me this week as I, Lord willing, communicate the Word. And I pray you'll help all of us to have ears to hear. May we examine the Scriptures, Lord, to see whether the things that are spoken are so. Help us to be faithful, lovers of your Word. I do ask you to bless, Lord, us this night and in the days to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I believe we're going to try to get out each night by 8:30. I know that it's going to get difficult for some of you with children and families. And we're going to try, by the grace of God, to maybe have a few nights of instruction and a few nights of exhortation. So you pray for me. I'll pray for you. God bless you, Brother Aaron.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.